Okay, tonight we're going to go to Acts chapter 17, and I was able to pass some maps out here to the folks that are present. Those who call in on the conference call, you might consider, if you want, either one of two things. You could let me know, and I'll send you a copy of the map. This will cover probably next chapter as well. And then there's another journey that he takes, Paul's third journey, and then he goes to Rome. So either that, or you can go online and just do a search on maps, Paul's missionary journey in the book of Acts. There's three of them, and then usually that's how they classify them, first, second, third, and then his final trip to Rome.
On the back of the Bible, they have them.
Good point. Yes, Bob made a good point here. You got your hard copy Bibles, the maps in the back. Right on. Yeah, probably better than the one I made a copy of here. It's not real easy to see. But again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, this is not just some comic book record or something about what they did in those days. This is something that God recorded for a purpose, okay? He wanted us to know about the early church and what they did, what they dealt with, and how they moved the word, and all the adventures that we could associate with and learn from. So, you know, as we go through here, think about that. Think about what's important in here. Why is God saying what he's saying in this wonderful chapter here? All right, here we go, chapter 17, excuse me, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now obviously in the chapter 16, they had already taken off. They were in Iconium, Lystra. Remember, they were in jail singing to God at midnight in the earthquake. What an adventure that was. And so they're on this trip here, and they also heard by revelation about coming over to Macedonia. And Macedonia is the Greece, what is today Greece and a bunch of other little countries over there. And on this map here, you can see it. And you can see Amphipolis and Thessalonica, where they traveled a little bit over the Aegean Sea to get there. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now, is this saying that he reasoned with them outside of the Scriptures? No. He reasoned with them with the Word of God. And so many times people try to figure out logic of man and use that to explain things. But Paul had it together. Paul used the Scriptures. He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Think about that. If you want to really help people and minister to people, a lot of great books and things out there, but if you can share the Scriptures with them, you're going to be on target. You're going to be handling the truth, and that's going to be the best. So he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one. Now, did he have the church epistles to use to teach from when he reasoned with them out No, he didn't. Did he have the four Gospels? No. So what did he use to teach out of the Scriptures about Christ? Had to be the Old Testament. And you can go to the Old Testament, depending on what scholars you talk to or you read about. Some say there's well over 300 verses that talk about the Christ in the Old Testament. So here, Paul must have had a great handle of the word that he knew from the Old Testament to share about the Christ. And what were the key points about the Christ? That he suffered and he what? Rose from the dead. And we know how important the resurrection is, don't we? And he preaches the Christ, the Messiah. So, I've got a few examples here. I was thinking where Jesus taught about out of the Scriptures in Luke 24:27, where he taught those men. I think that was on the road to Emmaus. Was that the time beginning with Moses and all the prophets? He shared with them out of the Old Testament about himself. Of course, they didn't know he was the Christ at that time. But boy, you look at the Old Testament, and let's look at a few verses. I'll share them with you. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the great prophecy. When Adam and Eve fell, they messed up, and God said, hey, I'm going to do something here. It's going to involve seed and her seed. And of course, God put that seed, his seed, in her to conceive, to have the Christ child. And he would be bruised, but eventually we know that Jesus Christ will terminate Satan. All right? So that'll be a great day, won't it? Yes. Amen. Numbers 24:17 says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. Isaiah 9:6-7 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So there's a bunch of them in there. I'm sure Paul was able to wisely use these scriptures to teach about the Christ. Well, let's go back to Chapter 17 here in Acts, verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief woman, not a few. Now, when it says not a few, it means a lot, yes. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy. They took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sorts. These are not very good folks, by the way. And gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down, are come hither also." Well, if they turned it upside down, it probably meant they did it right side up, because it was kittywampus to begin with. Verse 7, "Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." You know, they're really playing politics here, huh? And so they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. I guess they had to pay bail there, huh? Yeah. Verse 10, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." So you see where Berea is on here? Below Thessalonica, yeah, okay. Makes sense. Verse 11, "These were more noble," those believers there were more noble than those in Thessalonica, "in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures," how often?
Daily.
"Whether those things were so." Man, those people were hungry, huh? They were into the word. Amazing. And they had this readiness of mind. They had a meek heart to receive God's word. Pretty amazing. Great attitude of mind that we want to have to receive the word. And check it out daily. "Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greek, and of men, not a few." So a bunch of men, right? Okay. "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also," and what did they do? Yeah, they stirred up the people. They wanted to cause problems. They were jealous. They didn't like that. "And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still." "And they had, they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens." Okay, Athens, Greece. Down farther south. You can see that on the map. And let's see. Now, Paul, let's see where this. "And they conducted Paul, brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." So he got Silas and Timothy to join him. "Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Wow. "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." And this is really neat, that not only did he go to the synagogue for the Jews, but he started reaching out to the everyday people. He's in the marketplace, you know. They're doing like Agape Now. All right? They're out there meeting the people, witnessing, speaking the word. "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and" what? "The resurrection." How important is the resurrection? It's critical. Critical. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior is so important, so critical, for people to recognize that he died for us, and yet God raised him from the dead, the resurrection. Romans 10:9, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart what? God raised him from the dead. Yeah, the resurrection's huge. You know, in 1 Corinthians, we really are benefited by the knowledge of the operation of the manifestations in chapter 12, 13, and 14, right? But in chapter 15, there's a masterful presentation of how important the resurrection is. So if you want to read something really exciting to see how important the resurrection is, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, that's your book and your chapter. Well, they didn't have that available then, but I'm sure they were able to preach what was prophesied in the Old Testament and make testimony of those who were with him. Verse 19, and they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine wherefore thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were spent there, were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. They were thinkers, philosophers, and all they did was talk about new ideas, new thoughts, new philosophies, something different, something new. And so here Paul was preaching something pretty unique, and that tickled their ears a little bit. So verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with an inscription, and it said, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Mm-hmm. You know, they had all these gods and statues and all kinds of stuff, and they figured, you know, we better put one up for the unknown God so we get everything covered all right. But Paul used that to introduce the true God. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You know, how many blood of nations? One. You know, one. Everybody's all prejudiced and against their brothers and other countries and all this stuff. God's just got one blood of all nations of men. Too bad we can't figure that one out, huh? Now, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. We are born from him. We're his kids. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art of man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Change your thinking. Come on. We can be born again of his Spirit. We can become his children. It's not about some idol or graven image. It's about life and living with God within. So he says, repent, change your thinking, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. There's that resurrection again. Isn't it really neat to see how vital and how important that is? And God, boy, he puts it in there over and over again. He teaches the resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him. There's some folks that believe the message that he taught. And believed. Among the which was Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. So maybe not everybody believed, but some of them did. And some of them got named there in that situation there. So, but when we go to chapter 18, we see Paul leaves Athens and goes to Corinth. We'll pick that up next week. But some really neat adventures Paul had in holding forth the words of life and emphasizing the resurrection. Pretty neat, huh? Yep. So I figured if for some reason you missed the message, fell asleep, or whatever, I'll play this little video clip for you that will review some of the things we covered in this chapter 17, okay? So enjoy.
Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.
May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We will know therefore what these things mean.
For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing.
Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord,
if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead.
We will hear thee again of this matter.
So Paul departed from among them, albeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them.
Okay.